last couple of weeks, and it happened to be what we're doing this afternoon at Praise at 4, which, don't forget, it's Praise at 4 this afternoon. And I thought, oh, we're doing that Praise at 4, should we do it in the morning? And do you know what? I just decided we're going to go for it. So Graham's going to come and read to us this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, a fairly well-known story, I think.
Good morning. As Ruth said, it's Matthew chapter 14, for those of you that follow it in your own Bibles. And it starts at verse 22, following the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks, Graham. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all these amazing stories that we can read again and again. And we thank you that that as we read them again, you give us fresh insight into what these might be about, or you remind us about old insight. Lord, this morning, as we listen to this story and explore this story, would you speak to us? Would you make my words your words this morning so that I'm not noticeable, but you, Lord, are the one who is speaking? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I usually try to start with some sort of illustration or have a bit of a film clip or something, and I couldn't think of one at all that we weren't using this afternoon. So you have to come this afternoon for the film clips and everything else. So we're just going to get into this. This is a story that I don't know why, it's just one of those things that we planned to do. We planned Praise at 4, right, there's a theme before Christmas. So I hadn't even thought about the morning service today when I was thinking about the theme for this afternoon. And then it turns out that I think it's Fusion. One of the groups this last week have been doing this story as well. And it cropped up somewhere else. And I thought, well, do you know what, God? I'm going to have to try and take notice of you on occasion when you keep dropping these stories. So I thought, well, maybe we should look at this story this morning. And the reason why I wasn't totally against it was because, as you may have kind of picked up, I've dropped it into bits of things. We've not really talked about it wholly, as in fully this year. But I do think that we are receiving this word this year. And I don't mean for the year. I just mean from now on, for a while. And that was the verse that I spoke about at the last All In service, if you were here. And that is, the word is Joshua chapter 1. But in particular, that bit where God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." And all of the things that surround that as well. And I think this is a word for us as a church at the moment that actually God is calling us to be strong and courageous. And we are working out what that means for us. Because actually, it's not that easy to go, well, this is a word from God and this is what it means. These are the implications. We're just going to have to go with it and see where God takes us. And really, this passage ties into that. So I thought, well, okay, I'll take the hint, God. I'll take the hint. So let's pile into the story straight away. I want to know why Jesus thought he had to walk on water to get to the boat. Because what had happened, Jesus had fed the 5,000, it says, and after he'd fed the 5,000, he sends the disciples away in a boat so he can tidy up, basically. He kind of goes, I'm just going to sort all this out. I'll finish saying goodbye to people. He sends the disciples off. Now, maybe I kind of think, well, actually, what he wanted to do was go up the hill and pray, and he needed to get the disciples out of his hair. So he sends the disciples off in a boat across the lake. It doesn't say, now go and fish. It just says, go and get in a boat and go across the lake. No idea why. It doesn't really make any sense. But Jesus goes up a hill and spends some time with his Father God. Really important to note that how many times Jesus does that. He goes and spends time with his Father on his own. He takes time out. Really important to always hold that. So, but then it's kind of halfway through the night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. We know that because it talks about the third watch, and that's roughly when that would have been. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So it may have started to be just about starting to get light at that point, but some point in that time frame, Jesus thinks, I know, I'll go and catch up with the disciples. What's the quickest way to get there? Take a direct route. So Jesus walks on the water. I kind of go, well, he could have waited till the morning. You know, they're going to be asleep. What's the point of going and seeing them? But we know that Jesus doesn't do anything without reason. He doesn't do anything for any particular, for no reason at all. What he always does is show something of who he and God is through all his actions. And so what is God showing us? What is Jesus showing us? Well, we'll hold on to that for a minute. Now, of course, as Jesus is walking across the water, all the disciples, those who are on the boat, think that he's a ghost. Now, this is not an unreasonable thing to think. If you imagine, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, in a place where the sun probably rises fairly early, it's going to be very low light. It's windy. We know it's windy. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was cloudy. I'm kind of going, potentially, there was a bit of moonlight. You can imagine what it's like. There's no kind of street lights. They might have had some lanterns on the boat, maybe. But they would be totally reliant on that moonlight. And so they see something coming across the water at them. You would. You would panic at that point, wouldn't you, really? Let's face it. You would be slightly worried. But they see this. But as they get closer, they suddenly realise they recognise Jesus. Of course they do. He's their friend. You recognise, I always remember as a child, I knew when my dad was coming because of the sound of the keys in his pocket. I could identify my dad a long way away because out of all the other people, because of the sound, the particular sound of the keys in his pocket. It's funny, isn't it? We recognise people because we know them. We know them. And they knew Jesus. They recognised them. But then we come to the character of Peter. Now, I never quite know how to deal with Peter in my head, really, and what that's all about. Because, you know, he is the rock on which Jesus builds his church. And all the art and the film and everything always have Peter as this big, burly, strong, very, lots of facial hair for some reason, big, burly, strong fisherman type. We think it was really strong character and everything else. But sometimes I think that Peter is a little bit dim. Somewhere between dim and just, Anyway, he's a little bit arrogant as well, possibly. But actually, he's either stupid or gullible, or he has a really strong faith. Or maybe he's very vulnerable and suggestible, we don't know. Because let's face it, I wonder why on earth he would think that it's a good idea to want to walk to Jesus on the water. I don't know if you've ever met, I suspect that most of us have one of those friends that sees something really dangerous and goes, oh, I won't ever go at that. Anyone know people like that? Yeah? You know, when you show the video of someone jumping off something and you're like, oh, I'd love to do that. And you're like, why? Why would you want to do that? My experience is that these are either really totally brilliantly fun people to be with because they've got very few boundaries and they just go for it and you're like, okay, this is cool. Or they're absolutely nutters and really embarrassing to be with. Yeah? So it's one or the other. One or the other, generally. And sometimes, well, most of the time, I fear that Peter is the latter. That he's just a bit of a nutter. And all the rest of the disciples are sat in a boat going, what on earth are you doing? He's at it again. Now, I want you to notice that I've skipped over the bit that Jesus is walking on the water. I've skipped over that bit because Jesus is God and, well, you know, he's God, so he can do that. So, I'm just going to skip over that because we just accept Jesus is God and he can walk on water, okay? What I want to focus on is Peter. The thing is, all of the rest of the disciples stay in the boat. Not one of them joins him. Not one of them does anything about it, really. And I'm a bit flummoxed by this because in my head, the macho camaraderie goes, oh, he made a mess of it. Can I ever go now? Not one of them got out of the boat. No one says, let me have a go. It's a relatively simple story. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water and one goes, oh, I want a bit of that. Jesus, call me over to you so I can come. Call me over and I'll come. And what happens? Peter steps out of the boat and he's looking at Jesus and going, this is awesome. Oh, I'm walking on water. And then he realises it's a bit windy. And then starts to panic. And then he starts to sink. And I kind of go, it's really interesting because in my head, it goes, he starts to sink. And I'm like going, either you're walking on the water or you're drowning. Surely. There's no like, oh, I'm just starting to slowly slip beneath the waves. Actually, I think that Jesus probably rescued him very quickly at that point. It's a handout and a grab and it's okay. I've got you. It's a relatively simple story. She says, relatively simple story, but what I want to do is just look at some of the elements of that. And we're going to do that because I am totally not the greatest artist in the world. But I'm going to show you my artistic skills. Are you ready for this? Hang on, I'll plug this in. There we go. Is this going to work? Is it working? It's not working. Yay! Are we ready? So, are we ready? These are my amazing artistic skills. Are you ready? So what we do have, what have we got? We've got a boat. There we go. We've got a boat. Hang on a minute. It needs a sail. What colour sail should we have? A purple sail. There we go. We've got a boat. We've got some disciples in the boat as well. They're all having a nice time in the boat. Some of them will be asleep, but by this time I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be wide awake. Who else have we got? We've got Jesus over here. He's walking on the water. Hang on a minute. How do we we'll distinguish him by giving him a halo. And then we've got Peter as well. We've got Peter who's hopped out of the boat onto the water and he is now on the water. Hang on a minute. He needs some facial hair. That's Peter. So Peter who's looking a little bit worried. Oh, hang on a minute. Something's gone wrong there. He's looking a bit scared now. Hang on a minute. We've got something very important missing. We've got the waves and the water. Okay, so The question I want to ask now is, at this point, which is the safest place to be? Which is the safest? So most of the time, I'm like going, it's not the storm. This is not the story of when Jesus calms the storm, okay? It is windy and there are waves. Where is the safest place to be here? In the boat. We like the boat. The boat is a very good place to be. The boat is safe. We like the boat. The boat is not sinking. The boat is good. Okay? But, Jesus walks across the water and Peter goes, oh, that's more exciting than being in the boat. So actually, this is an okay place to be. Until what point? When does this not be a safe place to be? Till he realizes what on earth he's doing. When he actually gets there, he suddenly goes, no, not a good place to be at all. When does it become a safe place again? Thank you very much. When Jesus has very long Mr. Tickle arms and holds Peter up and saves him and rescues him. Now, where is the safest place to be? In Jesus' hand. Brilliant. Thanks, Kat. Get rid of that. See, I told you I was a brilliant artist.
Not.
Can't actually move anything there. This is all good. The thing is, the boat is a perfectly safe place to be. It's a perfectly good place to be. Jesus had told them to go and get in the boat in the first place. And we live and assume, we assume and therefore live like the boat is the place we need to be. We spend our entire lives assuming that the boat is the good place. And we live because we kind of go, well, this is the safe place to be. This is a good place to be. And so we live in the boat. Now, again, it's not necessarily a bad place. When does the boat become a bad place to be? When it sinks. The boat only becomes a bad place when the water starts coming over the sides. But until that point, the boat is a perfectly reasonable place for us to be. We know it. It's served us well. It's not a bad place until it starts to sink. I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm asking them now, and then I'm going to ask them again at the end. I want to know two things. One, what's your boat? What's your boat? And the second question is, where are you in that picture? Where are you in that picture at the moment? So let's go back to the boat bit. What's your boat? What is your boat today? For some of us, our boat is our job. It might be a perfectly safe place to be. For some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, it might be the place you sit on a Sunday morning. Comfortable? Yes. Perfectly comfortable and perfectly good. And notice, I want you to notice, Jesus doesn't say, come out of the boat. He doesn't go to the disciples and say, well, so who's coming with me? Who wants to come and try it? He just walks towards them. Peter is the one that says, you call me over. You call me over. But the thing is, for Peter, if he hadn't gone out the boat, he would never have walked on water. And he did walk on water. Wasn't brilliantly successful at it, but for a first attempt, I think it was pretty good. But when we stay in the comfortable place, what are we sacrificing? When we stay in the place that kind of goes, this is comfortable and I'm happy here and it's all good, what are we sacrificing? There's a brilliant book, which I have to say has been on my shelf for years, and I have never read it until this week. Shame on me. I have lots of books like that. It's quite an old book. It's by John Ortberg, and it's called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Lots of people have read this, yeah? A few people going, yeah. It's been around for quite a while. You're reading it now? Oh, good timing. There we go. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out the boat. If you want to borrow this, I'm sure there's quite a few copies around, so you can borrow mine. It's got my name in it. And he says this. He talks about being a boat potato, like being a couch potato, but a boat potato. And he says this. He said, if I had to name in a single word the price you pay for being a boat potato, i.e. staying in the boat, I think the word written on the price tag would read growth. See, Peter was never going to challenge himself unless he got out of that boat. The disciples stayed where they were, but I have no doubt in my mind that Peter was changed after that. That Peter understood who God was a bit more after that experience. In the book, John Ortberg talks about best china. Who has a set of best china at home? Quite a few of us, yeah. He talks about his family. I think it's his great grandmother. Lived in a place in Europe, or some, I can't remember where it was. It doesn't matter really. But in a time when best china was really best china, and. And his great-grandmother was bought. It's the kind of thing you would be bought a piece of a matching set, but you'd be bought, because it was so expensive, you'd be bought like one piece for a birthday or a piece for your first communion or a piece for different celebrations, so that through your life you would gather this set. And it was so precious to her that every time she got a new piece, she would wrap it up in paper and put it up in the attic with the rest. It got passed down to her daughter and her granddaughter, never being used. It was never used because they were waiting for a special occasion, but it had to be an extra special occasion because it was the best china and they didn't want it broken. It's irreplaceable now. The pottery where it was made is long gone. How much do we invest in keeping things special and never using them? I've got to the point where the best china that we had, it's not made. They've finished making it now. And I'm like, do you know what? So be it. If it gets broken, it gets broken. It's just pottery. It's beautiful. It's lovely. We love it dearly. And it was a beautiful wedding gift. But if we don't use it, then when is ever anything special? You see, if we don't get out of the boat, we're doing the same thing. If we stay where we are, if we don't do anything, then we can be perfectly comfortable and perfectly happy. And God doesn't actually say, get out of the boat. Jesus doesn't say to Peter, get your backside out of that boat and walk on water with me now. But Peter says, I want to. And so Jesus says, come on, come with me, come on, try it, see what happens. You see, growth, as John Ortberg says, if growth is the thing that we sacrifice, it's such a shame, isn't it? Because growth comes with excitement. Look at the first year of human life. The first year of human life, growth, it's like an explosion, isn't it? It's like an explosion because all of the things that happen in nine months in a mother's womb, a baby goes from a single cell to a baby, first 9 months of life, out of the womb, the first year of life, babies grow at an exponential rate, it seems like. If they carried on, we'd all be, 100 feet tall if we kept on at that rate. You see, but it brings joy and excitement as a parent. You watch your child grow and they do something new and you're like, oh, this is amazing, this is wonderful. You know, they take their first step and you're like, this is brilliant. How exciting, and you applaud it and you think it's wonderful until they can reach everything and then you're like, no, go back to crawling again. But, what excitement growth brings in the first year of life. And then what does it do as we carry on growing? Whether we don't carry on growing very much. But, as we keep growing in life, we learn new experiences. And yes, some of them are very hard and some of them feel like drowning. But we grow. But Peter, when he walks on the water, this isn't about reckless abandonment. This is not like, yay, come on, I'll just go for it. He asks Jesus to call for him. Peter asks Jesus to call for him. He says, you call to me. You call me over. If you want me to do it, call me over. But of course, then something happens. Peter is distracted. And Peter is distracted by one thing and one thing only. Fear. Peter is distracted by fear. What if? That what if moment. Abby at the moment, I told her, but she gets very embarrassed when I do this. So I only do it in sermons and not in kids' addresses anymore. all the time, her big question is, what if? What if this? What if that? And I'm like, what if the sky falls in? It's literally like that sometimes. What if? Peter suddenly realizes, what if? The thing is, we're not all Peters. We are not all Peters. Many of us are the disciples who are happy to stay in the boat. But we are all given the opportunity to be Peter. Because we all have the offer from Jesus. When Jesus speaks to Peter, it's really fascinating. What does he say, first of all? He says, chill, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. What's really fascinating, is that in the Greek, in that there's three short sentences there. In the middle bit, when he says, it's me. Don't worry, it's me. You don't need to be afraid. The it's me, the Greek for it's me is ego aimi, which is it's me. But actually, it could also be translated, take it on good authority, it could also be translated as I am. Could be translated as I am. Now, for those of you who know your Old Testament, you'll remember when, several times when God speaks, he says, I am. Remember when Moses in the burning bush and everything else, and Moses is like, what on earth? And God says, I am, that I am. See, Jesus basically says, I'm God. I'm God at that point. It's not just a man who they love, but this is God. So, lots of waffle, maybe. Hopefully lots of God. And very little of me. So I'm going to ask those two questions again to think about. And the first thing is, what's your boat? What is your boat? And the second thing is, where are you in this picture? Where are you in the picture? You'll have to imagine it again. I'm not drawing it again. Thing is, some of us may be the disciples in the boat. Totally okay. Totally okay. Some of us might be Peter in the boat going, oh, I want a bit of this. I want a bit of this. Some of us might even find that we've already stepped out of the boat in whatever way, and now we feel quite confident because we're walking on water with Jesus. But some of us might be feeling like actually we've just recognised that there are waves around us and it's windy and I don't want to get my feet wet, but it's going to happen and I'm starting to drown. Sometimes it feels like the waves are coming and we can't stop them. Where do we want to be? Some of us may be there. Great, if we are, brilliant. Actually, I want my hand in Jesus' hand. I don't want to be in the boat because I want to grow. That's who I am. That's who I am. I want to do things. I want to be, you know, I want to follow Jesus. I want to say, look, what can you show me? What can you show me that I can't already do? But I want to be holding onto his hand when I do it. The safest place is always going to be hand in hand with Jesus. No matter whether you're in the boat, because Jesus gets in the boat eventually, or whether you're out on the water or sinking under the tide, the safest place is hand in hand with Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. And when I prayed, we're going to have a bit of silence. Because I was thinking it's hard to think when somebody else is talking. And then we move on to the singing and you're like, we get caught up in the singing bit, don't we? So we're going to have a bit of quiet. And I just invite you to ask those two questions to God. Maybe there is a boat that you need to get out of. It's comfortable, but that's a challenge, therefore. Or maybe you're ready to get out the boat, but a bit scared of drowning. There's lots of what ifs in all of that. I'm not going to try and offer too many suggestions because that's God's job. But I'm going to invite the band to come up as we just pray and spend a bit of time in silence, just listening to what God's saying to us. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this story and we thank you that you, Jesus, come to us. You come to us walking on water, showing us that you are God and that nothing is beyond you. You can do whatever you want. And we're glad of that because we know that what you want is us and that you want us to be full and free. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would come by your Holy Spirit to help us to discern those things. Whether we're in the boat and that's okay and we just kind of go, Jesus, can you just come and get in the boat with us because I want to spend some time with you? Or whether we're ready to take that step and get out of the boat. Whether we feel like we're drowning. Lord, tell us where we are. Show us where we are. Even through the ridiculous media of my drawing, Lord, just tell us where we are. And help us to recognize where are our safe places that you're ready to challenge us to get out of. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And just before we have that silence, I'm going to say I'm going to stay here. If anyone wants to pray through any of this stuff, then I'm going to be here. Some members of the prayer team will be aware and come forward if there's more people that want some prayer. But, you know, this time is for you and God. So let's just have some silence.